Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wondering what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Sip the Chew Show. We are having a little visual problem today, so we probably will not be on.
So if you're listening on the internet, you're not hearing us.
Yeah, we're gonna axe this right now. So anyway, we will not be on the internet today, but we are on the audio part of it. You can hear us. And but welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. This is our pre-Thanksgiving show. God, this is a great time of year. I love this time of year. And
it's cool this morning.
It was real nice.
It wasn't cold. I mean, just a nice cool.
And there's Mike on YouTube now.
Well, I could have brought that up on here, but it from this, but not the camera. Probably time to get a new camera. Yep. So what time is it? Time to get a new camera. There we go. So
we are on Facebook. You get to stare at Mike.
No, you ain't got to do that.
Well, too late. We're broadcasting.
All right.
Wave at the people, Mike.
Hey. Anyway,
so we'll go ahead and now neither of us is in shot.
it didn't work.
Yeah, it's not going to work that way, Steve. Okay. I don't have it set up for it. Yeah, you have to specifically set it up for landscape.
Ah,
and I don't have.
See, iPhones, you don't. You just turn it.
No. I'm talking about StreamYard.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
StreamYard, you have to specifically indicate whether you're landscape or portrait.
Okay. Yep. All right. But anyway, welcome to,
get to know your
Sunday
software,
morning.
Right? Come on, buddy.
Look, this stuff, I'm like, bleh. I don't know nothing about this stuff.
Yeah.
Greek mythology, right?
So.
It's gobble gobble week, Mike.
It is. I'm so excited. You know, it's a great time to bring the country together, bring us together, bring family together.
Yeah. And Mike's one of those elitists that gets holidays off. Mm. Real working men don't get
holidays.
That's
why I don't work in restaurants and retail.
You going to be working?
No. Thursday's my normal off day.
Oh, I was going to say, my day's off this week, so yeah, I'll be all right.
Yeah. That's been my entire
my
life.
Normal week,
I only get holidays off if it's my normal off.
I get four days off in a row, so
it's my normal day here. But
that's what I say. You're an elitist.
Yeah.
So I got gifted a turkey, a 16-pound turkey. So
I suggest eating it.
Well, I'm not going to eat it raw.
You got a brand name?
No.
Okay.
But I can get one.
I was going
to
be
texting
say,
you guys and asking tips.
Well, a lot of people like to brine their birds.
Brine the bird.
Yeah.
You're talking Greek to me.
Water with salt in it.
Oh, okay.
And drop it in there. You could find some different brine things off there. But one brand you shouldn't brine is Butterball.
That's not it. It's not Butterball, no.
Right. And that's because that's the difference in Butterball and other turkeys. It's pre-brined.
Now, on the label, it did say it had this in it. So
is there a 30% water solution by weight? That's on anything any meat you buy in a grocery store. You don't find that if you buy from a butcher house.
Okay.
What they're doing is injecting water into it to get the weight up to charge you more. Pure and simple.
Oh, wow.
It is. Well, it will help keep it moist. That's true.
Yeah.
But the main reason is to charge you for a $10 bird when all you've got is a $7
bird. So essentially get the big pan, the aluminum pan, get that, and put how much water in, 2 inches, 3 inches?
You don't really braise the turkey. You want it dry underneath.
Okay.
Dry roasted heat. Man, I hadn't roasted a turkey in so long.
I mean, just in a typical oven. That's all I'm going to be doing, you know.
I like to always start it off as hot as the oven will get, and then turn it down when you put the bird in. To your roasting temperature, which is usually somewhere between 300, 325, like that.
350, okay.
But whatever the that will get you that skin on top. Make sure the skin is completely dry. Mm-hmm. Pat it dry with paper towels, and just salt it a little. If you can salt it a day ahead of time, even better.
Okay.
Yeah. Even better.
Well, it's thawing now, so I should have that ability.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you want it to eat it Thursday, you need to be thawing it today.
Yeah.
Because unless you want to leave it out overnight, and I don't know about that. Why don't you know about that? If it's frozen in the core all the way up to the point that you're ready to cook it, it's still refrigerated, even if it's sitting on your counter.
Yeah.
But,
well, see, I'm not going to do any stuffing, and I know the difference, that, you know, cooking it hollow and having
right.
stuffing.
And that's the only difference between dressing and stuffing is stuffing goes in the bird.
Right.
It's the same recipe.
I'm not sticking my hand in the
That's
bird.
Not a safe way to cook.
We don't stuff our bird, but we got to where we just do turkey breast just cook the breast.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you get the leg and the thigh, the good parts?
All that gets thrown away.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you could only eat turkey so long.
You just get a leg and the thigh. Why would you eat a whole 16-pound bird? I ain't throwing that away.
What I'm saying is, why waste money getting the breast when you can get the legs and the thighs instead? You know, the good part.
Everybody to his own. Yeah. We'll just let Mike go that way.
I like the white meat for the turkey sandwich.
Yes.
No, yeah. I don't. If I'm eating it on the plate, I'm going to have gravy because it's turkey. It's breast. Breast meat is dry and flavorless.
I always eat chicken or turkey. I mean, I'm 196 pounds, 195 pounds. So, you know, I'll eat until
Mike called that third grade. Yeah. I called it kindergarten.
Well, I used to be 260, 265 back in the 2000s, but I lost a lot of weight. And just the past couple of years, lost about 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. So now I'm supposedly, according to my last check, right where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You actually look fit especially compared to us two.
compared to my age.
When Steve, Mike, and I stand next to each other, we look like the number 100.
Which one's one?
You. We are clearly the zeros in this operation.
But that's now, would you put butter on the skin on the outside, like you said, with the salt?
Yeah, a lot of people will do that too. Butter will help crisp that up. Olive oil, cooking oil poured over the top.
Ooh.
Yeah, so any of that will work because you're basically frying the skin.
Okay, so what?
You know what else gets it really crisp? Frying that sucker.
Well, I'm not going to buy a fryer and all that oil and all that.
You got us working, Mike?
I got us working.
Well, I'll turn this off. Look, now we got a double broadcast going. So I'll just put this on me, and you keep that on you.
Voila.
And now we're both on the camera.
How about that?
Wow.
Oh.
High tech today.
Fancy schmancy.
Well, we got a feedback, though. We got sound feedback.
Yeah, turn your volume down. It's on your laptop.
Yeah, I guess I'll do that. We're going to get this figured out here.
Technologically educational show this morning.
That's it.
So as far as the
seasoning. Not your mic, your speaker. Mute it.
That's what I'm doing.
No, none of that. Mute your laptop.
This is a visual, people. This is a visual.
Down at the very bottom toolbar on the far right-hand side should be something that looks
like a
speaker.
Like a little speaker?
Yes.
Yeah, I see it now. All right.
Make it zero. It's the one that looks like a microphone.
See, this is not my job as a producer. I'm just letting you know.
You talk, I'll come around and get technology.
So, Mike, how would you season it at this particular point? Do you inject it, or how do you get the flavor into the bird?
You know, everybody likes to do the injections when they're deep frying it. Okay. Now, how are you going to roast it?
Because you don't want to brine a bird for deep frying. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, no. That's what I'm saying. I'm just doing it in the oven. So do I need to inject it in certain parts of the bird? Or how does
all
that
in
work?
The breast.
Totally up. Yeah.
And in the legs,
the
thighs.
The joints.
Yeah.
In the thigh joint where it hooks to the bird, okay. The thigh does. And just anywhere in there. If you're doing an injecting, by all means, I think
but
it's
I would
delicious.
Get you some Tony Sacheret and also raise the skin up and put some underneath the skin.
Okay.
And the cavity.
Okay. That's where you'll want to put your butter. And if you've got some fresh rosemary under there, that would be good.
Ooh.
I wouldn't go with the sage.
Because
it's unless you just really love sage.
I Yeah. Really, know the difference because I've never prepared a bird, so I don't know.
If you've got Italian seasoning, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just use the dry Italian seasoning,
and just kind of go up underneath the skin. You said
state of the art now with both of us.
I finally went live. I hit the live button.
We've been live on this.
Well, I think Gary can help you sort that out here in about 5 seconds.
Oh, should we be giving a phone number? What? What's that? Okay. How about 251-343-0106. That's what I was thinking.
You're psychotic.
Wow.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald. Devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, real quick before we get into the thing, got a couple birthdays here. Winston McQuittery, I know I'm butchering his name, McQuittery, he works for Alabama Crown. He is an incredible wine knowledgeable salesman. All those in Baldwin County who have the pleasure of going to his wine tastings at Salavin and all the other places over there, that great wine bars, they know who he is. But wish him happy birthday if you see him this week. He's a great guy, and knows his stuff. He's like I used to be. He's just like I used to be. So anyway, hey, Kamal Constantine, Piggly Wiggly, oink, 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 oink. That's happy birthday in pig Latin there.
Wow.
Come on. Oh, and Greg Rains over there at Lad and Dad's. It's his birthday. Wish these people some happy birthdays. So they're good, all good people. Real quick, congratulations, we want to say, to the Red Clay Strays from Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, man.
One of the best vocal musical act. You know what? I found out that only 3 country stations actually played their music.
Yeah, that's going to change.
Well, guess what? It was all social media that made them popular. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had a great story to follow because their bus kept breaking down. They had one of them old church buses, and it was always breaking down. And they just built this huge following. And now all the big country writers are saying, these guys have a sound like nobody else, but they bring so many genres together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so happy that Hometown Boys have done well. And they're going to continue to do well. And
On the other hand,
yeah. Also, want to everybody please keep Cherish Lombard. Everybody knows who Cherish Lombard is. In your prayers, I think she was diagnosed in 2017 with thyroid cancer, and she's been going back and forth to MD Anderson. The other night, I just happened to catch about a 30-35 minute live where she was, I think, on the rooftop of MD Anderson doing a live broadcast on her cell phone about what she was about to go through the next morning. She was going to have the remainder of thyroid taken out the next day. And she's been battling this for quite a while now. And she's a sweet girl. Mm-hmm. My son, I think, went to school with her. And she's just about her. You can tell she's got a lot of courage. Yeah. And she's trying to be courageous for her son and her daughter and her husband and the family. But I think they're going to be spending their Thanksgiving in Houston right now.
Well, you know, when she was 18, she worked, I think, maybe ABB here in town. Yeah. She went out to L.A. and got some kind of, like a blood disease or something that almost killed her.
Yeah.
And she came back to Mobile after that. She was one of the original hosts of Studio 10. One of my great joys when I would do cooking demos on Studio 10 was trying to make her glitch, do something that took her out of her comfort zone.
She's very focused.
One time I was doing street tacos. I know Mike loves it when they demo tacos on Studio 10. And I held up the little crunchy taco, and I said, but this isn't a taco. In Mexico. This is an American taco, so I won't need this. And I just threw it over my shoulder behind me. and let it fly across the set. She just kind of stopped and looked. Okay, I guess we don't need that.
But anyway, please keep cherishing your prayers. Yeah. And
she's a sweetheart.
Good people. Anyway, let's move on. It's Thanksgiving week, and I know everybody's just chomping at the bit to find out, what kind of wine do I need, Mike? What kind of wine do I need? Well, do you know that the third Thursday of each November is the Nouveau Beaujolais release day? And the Beaujolais release day, and it's released around the world all at the same time. Now, there's a big story why it's released like this, and it has to do with the town of Beaujolais, and everybody's it's a fresh wine, and you know it's picked, it's crushed, it's fermented, it's bottled, and it's rushed to market. And they used to have racists who could, and they still may do
racists.
They would race to town.
Oh,
they would
okay.
have
races. Okay,
races.
That's much better.
Like stock car racing. They used to have. Well, they used to do racing.
Foot racing.
And get their product to market, which would mean in the town quicker than anybody else. It'd be a big competition. Of course, the big name is Georges Dubuffe. And Georges Dubuffe.
Dubuffe.
Yes, he would get his out
French
there.
The French have a different
but
word
he's had, everything. You know, he's a pretty big name, and he's made his name with Beaujolais Nouveau. But it's from the Gamay region.
Always a very festive label on the
front. Yes, always. They change it up every year. And actually, I have about six or eight of those posters from different eras. And it's from the Gamay region. So that is always a very popular wine. And Georges Dubuffe himself made a point. Everybody thinks, well, that wine, is it any good after a few weeks or months? No, it ages well. Mm-hmm. You can keep this wine for a couple of years. When I used to sell it, I would buy extra bottles to set on to drink 3 or 4 years
down
the road.
Does it continue to develop?
Yes,
because a lot of wines don't do that, right?
Particularly if you get the Village, Dubuffe, or it doesn't happen to be Dubuffe, but the Gamay Beaujolais Villages. It looks like it says Villages, but I call it Village. But you
probably
get that.
What it means, though.
Huh?
Probably what it means.
Probably, you got to get to the Village.
Yeah.
But anyway, those age well, but goes great with turkey.
Yeah.
Goes with, well, what else goes?
Goes with all the holiday flavors. It just so happens that this wine comes out at the time of year that it's good to have one.
So the biggest two things about Thanksgiving is what? Turkey and dressing.
Pecan pie.
Man, well, there's pecan pie. But
pumpkin cheesecake.
I want to tell you what. I had some oyster dressing at our little company thing Friday. And the first thing I thought of when I bit into it was, this needs champagne.
Mm-hmm.
This needs sparkling.
Yeah, because so, it's oysters.
It's got oysters in it. And, yes.
And I imagine a dry, like your white wine recommendations were mostly on the dry side. Need that for all of the fatty foods that you're consuming.
But it's a palate cleansing flavor too. Cleanses the palate in between bites, in my opinion. It just cleanses it well enough to you can
so
enjoy
it makes
the
wine. Every bite the first bite.
The first champagne
is a palate cleanser, you say?
It could be.
Oh, okay.
To me it's like when you're it's an experience.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking I thought you were meaning the white wine or
the champagne.
Or the champagne, yeah.
Well, I also recommend Pinot Grigio.
Okay.
Pinot Grigio. The lighter, because there's so many flavors in dressing.
Sure.
But everybody makes it different. But whether it be just regular cornmeal dressing, meal dressing, or oyster dressing. But oyster dressing especially goes well with champagne.
Oh, okay. Champagne. That's what I was trying to, yeah. There you go. That's the palate cleanser.
And I don't know a lot of people who do green potatoes, but if you do.
Green potatoes.
Cream potatoes.
Oh, cream
mashed potatoes. Smashed potatoes. But Merlot would go great with that. But everybody I know does yams or candy, sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, yeah. Because a yam and a sweet potato is not the same thing.
But they recommend here Pinot Noir for that, I guess because of the sweetness.
Yeah.
Cranberries, cranberry preserves, Grenache. What do you think?
Chocolate ganache?
Hmm?
A chocolate ganache?
I don't know. But no.
That's ganache, by the way. It's the chocolate
sauce. Yeah,
that's
right.
Ganache.
But a ganache is mainly going to be Spanish, so ganache in Italian. Pumpkin pie? Moscata. Moscata is going to be a little sparkly almost and sweet. Not that sweet, but sweet.
How about some of that reunited Lambrusco?
No, it won't go with that.
Okay.
Pecan pie. Riesling, but get a dry Riesling. The pecan pie is sweet enough. Get a dry Riesling. That doesn't mean the wine is dry. It just has a drier finish on it. You still get sweet, but it allows the flavor of the pie to come through. And it's great with spicy foods as well, probably leftovers. And, of like course, apple pie, huh?
Like mincemeat pie?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, mincemeat's a spicy pie.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Whatever goes with that apple pie is going to go with the mincemeat pie. What's going to go with the apple?
That's going to be Chardonnay.
Oh, there you go.
But no, I would.
But I would put a red with the mincemeat, like you were just talking about.
Well, Syrah. I don't know. I think because of the seasoning and the flavors of the mincemeat pie, I think the dry Riesling would pair
well. Now, mincemeat is just apple pie with raisins and dates added, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's all spicy, chopped up really. Yeah, it's minced.
Spicy. Yeah.
But it's very similar flavors. Yeah. 251 Mike.
343-0106.
Okay,
are you losing your mind? Right?
No, but I forgot the phone number twice. I keep starting to get my own phone number. Y'all holler at us.
Hey, David, we're in the same studio.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot, smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat pancakes, too much sugar and don't run. I will pay for gumbo. I will pay for gumbo.
I know somebody named David Hubble played for gumbo.
Or Marlaton.
But let me tell you, he said that Rouse's has, and we're not advertising for Rouse's, but we're just saying, has 10 Marlatons for a dollar. 10 Marlatons for a dollar.
Well, he makes some recipe suggestions, too.
Yes, he does. A lot of people here, you know, David, you know yourself, a lot of people here don't know about Marlaton.
Yeah.
And how delicious they are.
Or Chayote squash is its other name. It's in the squash family. In Louisiana, it's called Marlaton. The rest of the world, it's called a Chayote squash. And I used them at Mars Hill one time.
Is that purple squash?
No, it's green.
Oh, okay.
I used it at Mars Hill one time because we shared a shopping center with an Asian market.
Mm-hmm.
And our cucumbers had gone bad. And usually I'd run down there, and they would have English cucumbers, and that would get me through a day. And they were out of cucumbers, so I just grabbed the Marlaton and cut it into pieces and threw that into the salads. And people were like, "That's the best cucumber I've ever had in my life." Doesn't look or taste anything like a cucumber.
Interesting,
but delicious, delicious squash here. Squash comes from the New World. I don't know of any squashes that are Bill would be the expert on that, but I don't know of any squashes indigenous to other parts of the world. I think they all came from
North and South America. I don't think we ever
grew North and South
yellow and the green. That's what I was saying.
Although I say that, but zucchini has an Italian name, so I'm wondering if – and it's a squash. Its full name is zucchini squash.
Hmm.
But the natives here, and, you know, this is a holiday that is built around us sharing things with the people who were already
indigenous.
Here. Yeah. It's funny. The first Thanksgiving, well, it wasn't the first Thanksgiving. They've been doing it for 12,000 years. It's just the first ones that they let some crackers
Somebody
show
named
up
it.
To it.
Somebody finally named
Let's
it.
Let's ask the white folks if they want to come up here.
Ask them if they want to name this here. Yeah.
But the natives referred to three vegetables that they grew as the three sisters. That is corn.
Right, maize.
Squash and beans.
Ah.
And they had an ingenious way of growing them so that the squash vines would grow up the corn so it would hang off of the corn stalks. And everything, all three of them were grown right together. So you would go to one corn stalk and you would pick three different vegetables.
How cool is that? I didn't know that.
And they, each one of these vegetables helped the other one through the various, whether it be a threat from pesticide, from pests, not, clearly not pesticides,
because
didn't show up until they came on boats, and also protect them from weather. Too much sun, not enough sun. Too much rain, not enough rain.
Yeah, it takes time to figure that out. So yeah,
well, they had, you know, like I said, they had 12,000 years.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Yeah,
but yeah, it's called the Three Sisters. To me, a true succotash never has tomatoes in it.
Succotash
for me, what is the Three Sisters? It would be corn, some kind of bean, some kind of squash, and the way I do mine is in brown butter with sage.
Ah,
and just
do you
saute
do that for Thanksgiving?
No.
Do you have everything?
No. My brother despises sage.
Do you have succotash for
no.
Thanksgiving?
No. Mm-mm.
Would be much more accurate than pretty much anything else we put on the table.
That makes sense. So, I mean, but you always got to have your yams or your sweet potatoes. You
right. And those are different, by the way. A yam is indigenous to Africa. It's a very waxy, I think it is a rhizome as opposed to a root. They started when Africans came to the New World. They encountered the sweet potato, and it reminded them flavor and color of a yam. So the name just kind of got transferred.
One sweeter than the other, or no?
About the same, just about different texture.
Okay.
I mean, those canned yams—that's a totally different texture than a sweet potato.
Now you tell me.
Yeah,
but I didn't ask before I shopped last week. Doggone it.
Well, that's okay.
I mean, still put butter and brown sugar in there.
Yeah,
good.
By all means, go for it.
Put some butter in there. By the way, Trey says, damn, fellas, listen to y'all here. You sound like watching Monkey's Tools for the first time.
Well, I'm a little discombobulated today because the camera didn't work. So not the one we usually use. I'm using the one on my laptop. And
I'm on my phone.
Stu's it reminds me song. Of my Uncle George. Every Thanksgiving, to try to get in the game. You know, we used to have the rabbit ear antennas.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, you know, George would be fighting with that. My Uncle George would be fighting with the rabbit ears to get the game in every year. That was the entertainment.
Stand right there and put your finger on the top
right,
of it.
Hold your Don't mouth move. Just right, you know.
Don't move.
Yeah, David mentioned that the sound quality is better. This setup. There's a reason for that, David. If we get a caller, you don't get to hear them. And this is just the mic on my phone and the mic on Mike's laptop picking us up. We usually have a dedicated microphone with the broadcast camera that has its own set of headphones on it.
Well, and, it did.
Yeah.
And if
we get a call, y'all ain't going to get to hear them.
We could just rewire
But Mike, we
that
need
right
to talk about next week.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike and I are not going to be here next week. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be a brand new Sip and Chew. We're not going to tell you anything about it. It's top secret. Shh. Don't let the government know. But just make sure you tune in to the radio broadcast next week. There shouldn't be a podcast. We're not going to do a live cast because we won't be live. It's a recorded show. I may put something together for Facebook and YouTube. But, you know, depends
know
on how bored I get this
I know
week.
What it is.
Yeah, Steve knows. Mike knows, too, but he just found out about
it. I know now.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve and I have been cooking this up for a couple of days, and Mike's like, if you want to come do the show next week, that's fine, but I'm not going to be here.
You're going to be with family?
Mm-hmm.
Do you travel?
He is this time. Well, short travel. Aren't you going to Orange Beach?
No. Oh, that's for Thanksgiving.
Well, this Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're
doing,
oh,
this,
next, oh no.
This next
Next
Sunday.
Sunday, he's got something else. Yeah, that's right. You're going to Orange Beach for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to sit at home listen to the show. Go, hey, that's me talking, but I'm not talking.
Most people, yeah, that's what I think is one of the traditions is holiday travel. Is that, you guys think that that's kind of gone the wayside?
No.
They're projecting
it's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Going to be a big one.
Well, but I mean, I bet it's more people driving.
Finally, post-COVID enough, I think, you know, we're good to go. But, I mean,
well,
I
the economy
at airline
has
rates
been so bad.
Day.
I mean, his economy is just horrible right
yeah,
now. It's worse now than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
But yes, people still find ways to travel, and traveling they do, you know. Yeah.
They'll drive.
What's the best meal to prepare beforehand and take with?
Or ooh,
the
fried
best
chicken.
Dish? Well, I meant for Thanksgiving.
something that can stay at room temperature.
Jello pudding. I mean, you know, people might.
It depends on how far you're driving.
Well, yeah, true.
Because keep in mind, the bigger the cooler. this is an important thing to remember. There's this thing called the danger zone with food, and it is between 41 degrees Fahrenheit and 140 degrees Fahrenheit. If the food is in that temperature range, that is optimal for bacterial growth. And that's the whole reason we refrigerate food is bacteria. At 40 degrees, which is what your refrigerating normally is, and below, it slows everything down so much that, you know, they become innate. At 140 and above, it's so hot that it kills them off. You can be in that danger zone for 4 hours safely. You could probably be in it for 5 to 6, depending on what it is. But safely, 4 hours in the danger zone, you have nothing to worry about. So if you got a 2-hour drive, pull that mac and cheese out, wrap it in a towel, drive 2 hours, you have nothing to worry about.
So I was about to say, so you could do the turkey and ship it and do pretty well.
Yeah, as long as it's going to be less than 4 hours from when you pull it out to when you either serve it or then put it in another oven, you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. Pies are obvious.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm just thinking about some of the dishes, like, you know, it used to be cream corn. God, I hate that stuff. But cream corn, you know, they would leave it hot and put it in a casserole.
He hasn't had cream corn done the southern way.
No, I don't.
Where you freeze it.
Cream corn done many ways, and I just don't like cream corn.
You freeze it, cut it into little pieces, and flour, egg wash, and a cornmeal batter, and fry it.
Yeah.
And that's corn nuggets.
Throw it at the birds.
If you've ever been to a convenience store that has corn nuggets, that's what it is. It's cream corn that's fried. Love it when it's fried.
At our little office lunch we had the other day, one of the employees there took sweet corn and turned it into a street style, like street corn.
Mexican street.
She did a Mexican style.
I like sweet corn. I just don't like cream corn. I just don't like cream corn.
Sweet corn is not made sweet because you add something to it. It's a particular type of corn that is naturally sweet.
I like the white sweet corn.
Yeah, that's really good.
Pan fry that.
Man,
pan fried.
That's hominy.
Deep fried all. No, hominy is a mixtilization process. I forget what all they put in. That's how hominy is made, and that is also like thousands of years old.
Yeah. Oh, I like hominy.
And they would take corn and they would put it in a chemical solution, and it would make the kernels plump up. It would turn white, and that's where hominy comes from.
It's like wet popcorn to me.
Yeah, and then you fry it.
But that's what grits are.
But I can't handle grits.
No, we take white corn and pan fry it.
Okay.
And you caramelize it. You just turn it brown. Caramelizes. Delicious.
Zia's Rotisserie, which I don't know if you ever went there. They used to be at airport. They're based out of the Hungry Peasant. They're based out of New Orleans. Company called the Hungry Peasant. They have a bunch of different concepts. They would take corn on the cob, throw it on a grill, and char it.
Yes.
Shave it off and add it to the grits.
No, I can handle that.
Oh, my God.
No, I wouldn't handle the grits, but I could handle the corn.
You might have handled these. They didn't cook them in water. They cooked them in straight, heavy cream.
I just can't do the texture, man.
Yeah, they own semolinas, too.
And, yeah. Which was also
a semolina.
They still have them over in New Orleans. They just
One in Mobile.
That one in Mobile was great.
Yeah.
It really was.
The Zia's was phenomenal. And it's a. I believe it's one of those bold seafood Cajun houses now.
That's what I mean. I enjoyed.
So if you run into any of those Hungry Peasant concepts, you know, even though it's a chain, it's a regional chain, very good. New Orleans based, and the techniques are based in New Orleans as well. We have a good friend, Sarah Lassiter, who went to work for Zia over in New Orleans at a training store. She gave me some of the secrets. Oh, and the other thing on those grits is that fresh green onion chopped up on top. Oh, my gosh.
I just can't handle grits. I must be something wrong with me.
Steve, Zia Rotisserie is all of the meats are cooked on a rotisserie. each day was a different one. So there would be lamb cooked on a rotisserie one day.
One Friday night, we went there and ate, and it was so good. And I was out there cutting the grass Saturday morning on the riding lawnmower. And we went to a Mexican restaurant and said, you know what? I've been thinking about Zia all day. So we got up and paid for our tea and left.
Went to Zia. One more segment, y'all. 251-343-0106. Hey, I remembered it.
And the dock is singing down on Mobile Bay. Stars are brightly shining and my heart is pining for the South each day.
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106.
Whenever you're not here,
Mike and Stu.
Whenever you're not here, I have to change that to Sip and Chew with Frickin' Stu.
Oh, we got a caller, by the way, boys.
Yeah, Jarhead, what you got going for us?
Well, I figured I'd call in and tell y'all guys how to fry a turkey.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, well, now this is what I do, guys, and I have never had anybody complain about my turkey. I usually get it thawed up on about Monday and go ahead and I shoot it up. I don't use none of that Tony Slattery's rub or the injection. I use a little thing that a lot of people don't know about. It's called Allegra, wild game marinade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It's the one, and there's several different kinds. Get the one with the clown on the bottom. And it's got all kinds of spices in it and everything, so you might have to strain it through like a coffee filter or something to get all that because it'll plug up your needle. But I go ahead and I shoot my turkey up on Monday night, and I put it in two plastic bags. Put it in a pan, go stick it in your outside refrigerator. And about every 12 hours or whenever you think about it, go out there and take that turkey and flip it over. Because, you know, all that marinade is gonna squeeze back out of that turkey. Mm-hmm. And it's just like basting it for like 2 days. And when you get that pure peanut oil, I don't go for the Southern blend. I go for the pure peanut oil, 375. Dunk that thing in there. And don't do it in your house, people. Mm-hmm. Don't do it in your house. And I usually do a 12 to 13 pound turkey, and you can cook it in usually less than an hour. When it starts floating, give it another 10 minutes. Take that thing out, let it sit. And I don't care what y'all say about turkey breasts. I'll get it out in a minute. Being dry, even the breasts are moist.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's one of the benefits of frying.
Yeah.
And the skin, oh my Lord, you can make a sandwich out of the skin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, first turkey I ever did like this, God rest her soul, my mama said I won't never eat another baked turkey again.
I did them for just years and years and years, and then just in the last 2 years, I said, you know, peanut oil has gotten so expensive, and it's just two of us now, and when I do it for a family, I'll do it for a family, but just for two people, I'm not going to do it for two people, and so you kind of get out of the habit, but I prefer fried turkey.
I actually looked up the other day, and Walmart had the Luann brand pure peanut oil, the big box of it, for $25.
Oh, really?
Yes, I started to buy a basket full. Because that's about $20 to $25 off on that big old jug of peanut oil.
Now, my
and there is, I mean, I love peanut oil for frying everything.
So I got a question for you then, and it's just because I've never done it. What do you do with the oil after?
Let it cool off. I will strain it and put it back in the jug and store it in a cool, dry place, like in your pantry, and you can usually, I have used mine for over a year and a half.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's the particles in the oil that make it break down, smoke and all of that stuff, unless you get the oil too high, which is what the smoke point is. So, yeah, just filter it out. If it's got a little flavor in it, fry potatoes in it first, and the potatoes will take all the other flavors out of the oil, especially like seafood.
Well, you know, guys, I have found out if you leave the little bit of flavor in it, you don't. It just passes on to the next turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, but appreciate anyway, Jarhead, guys, y'all have a,
from the bottom of my heart, buddy, gobble, gobble.
Guys, y'all have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to y'all next time.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Interesting. Learn something every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would fry another turkey, or at least a turkey breast, for Christmas after using the same oil. Mm-hmm. But I never have saved it that long.
Yeah.
But
cool, dry place.
Fresh, yeah, I just buy fresh next year, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can reuse it.
So how do you filter? I mean, is there a special cloth? Or
yeah, coffee filter.
Coffee filter.
In a fine mesh sieve, put it over a bowl. Because, you know, those sieves, the ones with the handle, they're made to sit on top of a bowl. They have a hook on one side, and the handle usually has a hook. Set on there, put a coffee filter or paper towels inside of that. That gives you double filtration. You can just go through the fine sieve, you know, fine. But if you add a coffee filter to it or a paper towel, you'll get even more of the stuff. And when it's when the large particulates start bunching up, you can take that one out and put another one in.
And or if you know somebody in the restaurant business, they might let you have a filter.
There's actually filters that they make.
It's a big metal contraption, but there is a rectangle filter that goes in it.
Oh, okay.
There's also a funnel one too, depending on what you're.
Oh, yeah, that's old school.
Yeah,
nobody has those anymore, Mike.
Yeah, well, I do.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, restaurants. If it works,
We were talking earlier about mixtilization, which is the process where corn becomes hominy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing these ads for these tortilla chips, and I'm trying to get in touch with the company to have them on. They use mixtilized corn, the traditional, for the corn chips. They do not fry in any seed oil. They fry in tallow.
Oh.
And I want to get a hold of these chips and try them out. Seed oils do present health problems, particularly with the seed oils that we extract from seeds from plants we've never eaten. That's cottonseed and canola seed. Humans have never consumed those things. And now all of a sudden we're getting an extract of the oil out and consuming it, so there's no telling what can happen. And they're finding out there are health issues with the seed oils. And it turns out that beef tallow and lard are better than anything science has come up with to replace them.
Everything that he said, everything that every expert has always said was bad for you is now good for you.
Well, it's not as bad as what they came up with to replace them. And, the most obvious examples of that are vegetable shortening, which, you know, good old Crisco, the worst thing you can use. The body can't metabolize it. For the same reason that the body can't metabolize high fructose corn syrup. We don't consume those things naturally. So the body doesn't know how to deal with them. So it stores every single bite you take of that as fat cells.
Mm.
And that has been the reason for the explosion in obesity in the United States of America. It's those two chemicals. Vegetable shortening, high fructose corn syrup. Because they put it in everything. And I used to joke that the Sara Lee's Heart Healthy Bread was the least healthy bread mankind had ever created. And they have since been called out enough on it because it used high fructose corn syrup and vegetable shortening in place of sugar and oil.
Wow.
And doubled the amounts of it.
Doubled the heart attack.
Yeah. And they have since come back. Because Sara Lee, for those who don't know, is not a food company. They are a brand management corporation. Go to their website. They don't manage food. They manage the individual brands they bought, Pepperidge Farms being one of them.
I didn't know that.
They bought really well-respected brands, and then they throw out everything that made them respected and make them. I'm not a fan of Pepperidge Farms bread, Sara Lee bread, any of the things they make. They used to be wholesome. Now they are ultra, ultra processed. And that's because you don't let people whose sole goal is to put money in the bank control the things that you eat. There has to be something more than just profit in mind when you're feeding people food. There's a responsibility that comes with it.
Well, folks, that's been great. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Get out there, support local, be local. Be safe on the road. Don't do anything stupid.
Like Mike and I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, you forgot the most important thing.
Provolone?
Provolone.
Yes. When you throw a few ribeyes on the farm, Roberta Duran ain't two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty life.